Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Morning, everyone. We're here for public forum. Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
Next, we have an item under county administration. This is for the District 1 Medical Examiner's Office. The request is to approve an amendment to the interlocal agreement between District 1 counties and the Medical Examiner's Office to increase the development of regional medical examiner facility from $18.65 million to $22.5
million. Oh, uh-oh. The District 1 Medical Examiner, that's Dr. Deanna Oleski, coming to the County Commission Santa Rosa and asking for more money to build the new medical facility that she needs, that really does need to happen. Remember, the current one is completely inadequate. It's in the basement of the Sacred Heart Hospital. And we've been talking about this for several years now. Long background on this is that, it has been needed for a long time. And, of course, when she came to the Escambia County Commission after they had been dragging their feet on this four-county deal for quite some time with a bunch of employees and complained about it and said, y'all need to act. And Stephen Barry didn't take that very well. And subsequently had that meeting at Smokey's with the funeral home directors, who then put out all of these things that, you know, there's no substance to them, all seem to be inaccurate and quite frankly defamatory, in my opinion, about Deanna Oleski. He, you know, remember all of that. And then now she's suing him over that. And then eventually he wound up voting for the new facility. Like, this just this long sordid history getting this facility built. Meanwhile, in Santa Rosa County, the sordid history is that the former administrator for the county, who had to leave because he was basically forced out by James Calkins and a bunch of his supporters and a bunch of other people who all got angry about what they perceived him to have been lying about, which I didn't think that he was, but in any case, long history there. Well, now he is the operations director for District 1 Medical Examiner's Office, and because James Calkins hates him, James Calkins was a no-never-ever on the medical facility and calling it a Taj Mahal and not wanting it to be built and pitching a stinky fit over it the whole time. Dan Shubler. So now we're kind of, now they're coming back and ask for more money, and I'm like, oh, what's going to happen here? James Calkins is leaving office, but he has been a thorn, pain, troublemaker all along, so he brings up, it's a reasonable question he asks. Okay, who's paying more for this thing? If we're going to add $4 million to the price tag, who's paying for it?
I'd just like to have the quick math of, you know, what it's going to cost all the different counties. For instance, this increase.
Yeah, the increase will go to $800,000 for Escambia, Santa Rosa, and Okaloosa, and $425,000 for Walton. So that'll take us from 4.617 to 5.417.
So an increase of $800,000 to each of the three main counties, Escambia, Santa Rosa, and Okaloosa. Walton's going to pay four and a quarter. I think that's what he said, $400,000+. So they're not paying as much, but that's been part of the negotiation all along, is that they're farther away, therefore they don't benefit quite as much from the inconvenient location to them. Sam Parker, who is a former cop.
Obviously, I'll save you all my long diatribe. We know that we can't have effective law enforcement or a lot of other things, such as life insurance or anything else, without an adequate medical examiner. And that's why y'all have heard me in the past, but I'll save you the speech today if there's no other questions.
Correct. It is a necessary thing. Colton Wright, recently reelected.
I think we all understand the necessity in this. I just would like to make sure that we go on the record saying that this point, this is where we need to be. This is the ask that's been made. It seems as though we're all comfortable in fulfilling that. But moving forward, we need to make sure that this is a number we stick to.
Yeah, 22% increase-ish. My math is rough. But, you know, $4 million more, it's not great. And don't come back for more later is basically what he's saying. So then James Calkins, this is the part I was apprehensive about. What are we going to see here? Are we going to see some last-minute drama while he's barely on the board for another month or so?
Okay, I just want to say, y'all know how I feel about it. I've made my position clear on this. It is a ask, but as Commissioner Wright just said, I would recommend that this is the final ask. I almost bet that it's going to come up again, but I'm not going to be here.
So he says he think it'll come up again, he think it'll go up again, but I was, you know, against it before, but I'll live with it. So I thought that was kind of surprising, but okay. And then he had a little more to say.
I also want to say, I got to hand it to Walton County. They were a no in the beginning, and they were a no, and then they were a no, and then they were offered a great deal. And they're paying way less than all the other counties. So for them, it's a huge victory for Walton County. So I just want to say great work on their part.
That's shade, right? He's trying to say that they got this sweet deal that continues to pay off for them. I think number of deaths is also an issue as part of this conversation, not just the distance for Walton, but, you know, how many deaths they shouldn't have to pay an equal with all the other counties because they don't have as many, like Escambia has the most out of all four counties, right? At least at the moment. So praising Walton as a way of getting a dig back in about how, you know, but we weren't quite done yet. And I do want to, we'll get there because there is one thing I want to say that's going to surprise you. John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. Looking at Highway 90 coming from Pace to Milton also looks good. Not seeing any delays. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. So, okay, back to this conversation about the increase in the cost of the medical examiner's facility from $18.5 to $22.5 million. And Sam Parker, the chairman, says...
My motion will be to approve the amendment to the interlocal agreement between the District 1 counties and the medical examiner's office to increase development for the regional medical examiner facility from $18.650 million to $22.5 million, and that will be the reflection to Santa Rosa County will be approximately $800,000 additional from us to bring Santa Rosa County's total commitment to approximately $5.4 million. I'd ask for a second to the motion.
Second.
All right, we've got a motion and discussion. A second.
Discussion. Real quick.
Further discussion?
Yeah.
Anything new or?
Yeah.
Oh no! What's he gonna say? What's gonna happen here?
I just want to say that. Y'all know how I felt about this originally, but the fact that we got to keep this going, and I don't want to be a vote against keeping this project going, I will vote in favor of it. So
that's fantastic, and I appreciate you recognizing the need of it.
What? Good. He just did the right thing, because in the past, what he would often do is vote against it, object, and then say, well, I respect the will of the board. Well, you know, if you respect the will of the board and then you vote against it, it's really like you don't have a choice. You got to outvote it. But in this case, he's like, I was against this originally, but I think we're in the process now, and I don't want to be the one to stand against it. It's a good. Good, James. Well done. I mean, I give credit where credit is due. That's why it was so surprising. I wouldn't normally give somebody credit for something so simple, but, you know, that was not what I was expecting, so... Good job, sir.
Got a motion and a second for that approval. All those in favor signify by raising your right hand. All right. Motion passes unanimously. And thank you, Dr. Oleski, and your staff for being here today. Thank you for what you do, for your sacrifices for our entire region here, the Panhandle.
Amen. So now the question's going to be, but what happens when it comes to Escambia County? Will it happen before the changeover of the board? Probably. So we'll just have to see what happens at that point. 618 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Man, this storm, we were tracking, you know, yesterday we were expressing our surprise at how quickly it strengthened. I mean, really, really quickly. And then it went all the way to a Category 5 yesterday, 180 miles an hour. And then it kind of came near land with the Yucatan Peninsula and slowed down a little bit. And now it's speeding back up again. It's going to go back up to a 5 probably and then come back down to a 4 and probably a 3 around landfall. Midnight-ish from Wednesday into Thursday is what we're expecting at this point. And huge storm surge and major evacuations going on in central Florida because people are properly scared about what this storm could do. Just to put this in perspective, I am not a, like, the millibars thing, you know, the number of the pressure in the inside of the eye is not something that I have ever particularly paid attention to. It's something that meteorologists get very worked up about. So, but one of the weather guys, Noah Bergen, had put a post out. He said, as of 8 o'clock last night, this is nothing short of astronomical. I'm at a loss for words to meteorologically describe to you the storm's small eye and intensity. 897 millibars pressure, which I guess is like the fourth strongest ever and like the second strongest in like 20 years. Okay, that's a really, really, really low pressure. 897 millibars of pressure with 180 miles an hour mass sustained wind and gusts of 200 miles an hour. Fourth strongest hurricane ever recorded by pressure on this side of the world. The eye is tiny at 3.8 miles wide. It had been, Alan Strom was saying that it was around 10 or 7, and then it got down to like 5, under 4. The hurricane, he says, this is Noah Bergen, this hurricane is nearing the mathematical limit of what Earth's atmosphere over this ocean water can produce. And if you look at it, it's just this giant red with this teeny tiny pinhole eye in it, or at least it was last night. So, man, this is a scary storm, really. 620 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. If you are getting ready to sell a home or buy a home or do both, you need a good real estate agent who understands what's going on in the market. You know, not just is it hot or is it cold, right? But at what price point, in which geographic location, and what are the things driving it one way or the other? Because all of that can be different based on where you live, what the price is, but also, you know, how the interest rates changing is affecting the market, how displacements are affecting the market from Helene first, and you got to imagine there's going to be some of that from Milton as well, but also things like insurance. And again, storms affect insurance, but now insurance is so different than it ever was before that one of the key things you may not understand when getting ready to sell or buy a home is how home insurance is going to affect that. Because if home insurance is real high, then that will change the amount that people can afford, obviously. But also whether you can even get insurance based on the age of the roof or the age of the water heater or the age of the AC or all kinds of weird things. Like, insurance is just so bizarre right now that it's even affecting homes. And so when somebody is buying your home and they say, yeah, but you got to replace the roof, you want to know, well, is that normal? Well, when you sell 175 homes last year and more than 120 so far this year, you know what's normal and what people can and can't ask for and what you can and can't say no to. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty, they've got that experience from lots of times they've done this. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty.
Hey, Northwest Florida, Dave Ramsey here. I want to tell you about my friends over at Gulf Coast Air Care. Owner Todd St. Ors and his team focus on the indoor air quality side of HVAC for the people who want comfortable, healthy, and energy-efficient homes and workplaces. Gulf Coast Air Care can help you with dusty, moldy, or leaky duct systems, hot or cold rooms, and odors and humidity issues. So, if you need duct cleaning, duct repairs, or air filtration, you should call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768. They've been trusted members of the community for over 30 years. And remember what Todd always says, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768 or visit them online at gulfcoastaircare.com. And be sure and tell them that Dave Ramsey sent you.
Visit Prim and Proper in Gulf Breeze for custom engraving and unique gifts. Specializing in creating extraordinary keepsakes, their expert engravers bring your vision to life with elegant monograms, personalized messages, and logos. Whether it's custom drinkware, engraved glassware, or home decor, each piece is crafted with attention to detail for any occasion. Perfect for birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, or corporate gifts, Prim and Proper ensures your gift will leave a lasting impression. Stop by their Gulf Breeze location or visit them online at primandproper.com.
Ready to unplug from the ordinary? To let loose? To open your mind? To sample a little bit of everything? To enjoy some culture? Find all this and so much more at the 11th Annual Foo Foo Fest, October 31st to November 11th. Start planning today at foofoofest.com.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, tonight at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or lawn chair and relax. Enjoy the beautiful sunset with your favorite bands. Yeah. the Knee Deep Band, a high-energy variety show band with something to please all ages. It's Bands on the Beach tonight at 7 with the Knee Deep Band.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Saturdays, you get The Garden Line Encore at 9, At Home with Gary Sullivan at 10, Swan Capital at 1, Let's Go Pensacola at 4.
I love you 3,000.
Morning, 6:25 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and John Pickens has got our traffic on the fives. John?
Still no accidents to report right now. Everything's flowing smoothly. I-10, I-110, not even seeing any slowdowns. So you're still good to go this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much. Did you happen to catch, this was actually on Friday, when we, you know, really, Helene was really in the middle of all the problems. But did you hear the brief press kind of questioning of President Biden by the helicopter, in which he seemed to forget that there had been a hurricane?
No, I did not.
It's got a lot of, like, helicopter noise behind it, but here's how it goes.
Cheney not only did something for courage, but physical courage. He had her father's daughter.
What do the states in the storm zone need, Mr. President?
The question is, what do the states in the storm zone need? Okay, so Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, right?
Okay.
What do the states in the storm zone, what do they need after what you saw today?
Oh, in the storm zone?
Yes, sir.
I'm wondering what storm you're talking about. They're getting everything they need. And they're very happy across the board. So we just got to keep, I'm going to have to go back to the Congress and get some more money for the
thing. Oh, in the storm zone. I wasn't sure what storm you were talking about.
Mm-hmm. What, wasn't he just there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, how's a guy follow that?
Maybe it's not fair to ask you to.
There were dueling protests yesterday at Columbia University on the one-year anniversary of Hamas's attack on Israel. There were hundreds of students, pro-Palestinian students, that walked out of class to protest. And meanwhile, there was also a pro-Israel protest, not quite as large as the pro-Palestinian protest, but they had milk cartons that each had the face of a hostage on them.
It cracks me up, the phrase you've got of the, you know, the dueling. You know, like, I feel like dueling protests ought to have... music. Go on.
Maybe that wasn't the best phraseology. Tesla's got a big reveal coming up this week. They're going to be unveiling their robo-taxi. That's scheduled for Thursday. Elon Musk had previously planned to do that back in August, but that had to be pushed back for a design change.
Now, I can't wait to get into one of those 20 years from now.
Someday.
I'm not early adopting something like that. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, me neither. I'm good with the drivers. And women's basketball superstar Caitlin Clark, the 2024 WNBA Rookie of the Year, apparently going to be competing in a pro golf event, the LPGA Pro-Am event. That's going to happen at the Annika November 13th at the Pelican Golf Club in Bel Air.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. By the way, speaking of robots and drones and all of that, I sometimes will accumulate stories on a subject where there's like more than one story, and eventually it gets to me so much that I have to just kind of talk about it all. Drone use in the military it's like half the stories that come out about the military these days have to do with drone use. The United States Army has picked two commercially available drones, including one that can drop bombs, for company level units that it's going to assign. The Army is also a different story, is also adopting Ukraine style warfare with an all new drone unit, the Lethal Unmanned Systems Platoon, one of the Army's first formations dedicated entirely to operating short range reconnaissance drones. It's just as in Ukraine, drones are meant primarily to help spot enemy forces and, if possible, coordinate indirect fire, which makes sense. But unlike Ukrainians, the LUS drone cannot directly stream video to other soldiers. Instead, they have to rely on an attached fire control officer to radio to the mortar section. Like, The operator will see it and then tell people where to go. So we're actually behind Ukraine in our ability to, because like the soldiers apparently in Ukraine can live stream, watch the video themselves while they're running around, and they can see what the, it's crazy. That's more of that is coming. Ukraine is deploying drone dogs, robot dogs, dropping the metalhead dogs like in Black Mirror. They're, you know, the Boston Dynamics ones that you've seen. A drone dropping a combat robot scout in an undisclosed location, which can then rise to its feet and trot off and do its observation. Fantastic. And dogs can run 9 miles an hour, battery life 5 hours, and they can carry the same heat signature as a rabbit, meaning they're hard to detect. And then the one that made me the most horrified of all of them is, and I wish I could show you the picture because, you know, the metalhead drone, or the robot dog, they've got an M16 attached to the top of it. Or rocket launchers. Ghost Robotics Vision 60 Quadrupedal Unmanned Ground Vehicle, or QUGV, armed with either the M16 or other, that it can operate autonomously, potentially, that it can be a sentry with a, for example, a Law's rocket that it can use potentially. That's the stuff we're working on right now.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster.
This has the potential to be one of the most damaging storms in the history of our country.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis on Fox talking about Hurricane Milton on track to hit the state's west coast tomorrow night. St. Petersburg Mayor Ken Welch.
The most important thing at this point is to save lives. And we can do that by moving to a safe place and shelter if you are ordered to evacuate.
Record storm surge in the forecast for Tampa Bay. Israel's military reports killing another Hezbollah commander.
Suhail Hussein Husseini was the commander of Hezbollah's headquarters. Israel says he was killed in an airstrike in Lebanon's capital, Beirut. The Israeli military's been bombarding the city and many other parts of Lebanon in a campaign targeting Iran-backed militants.
Fox's Jonathan Savage, 30 people are reported to have been killed in a strike on a house at a refugee camp in Gaza. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 70 degrees right now, clear skies in Pensacola this morning. The Escambia Sheriff's Office is investigating after a man was shot on Pensacola Beach last night. This happened about 10:30 at Via de Luna Drive in Fort Pickens Road. That man was flown to a hospital. Right now, we don't have an update on his current condition. Investigators say the shooting stemmed from a domestic-related incident. The victim's wife was being questioned. Milton is making its way towards Florida. Benji Heyer has more on the storm.
Milton is expected to make landfall in Florida by Wednesday night, hitting major population centers including Tampa and Orlando. Florida's officials are preparing for the largest evacuation there since 2017 when Hurricane Irma slammed into the state.
And in the latest National Hurricane Center update, Milton was classified as a Category 4 storm with maximum winds of 155 miles per hour. That is just shy of a Category 5 storm, which it was clocked earlier Monday at with winds of 180 miles per hour. Counties along Florida's west coast have been ordered to evacuate. Dozens are under a state of emergency. Milton not expected to have any major impacts on already storm-ravaged western North Carolina, though, as it struggles to recover in the aftermath of Helene. It's also not affected to have any major impacts on us here, aside from a bit of rough surf and an increased risk of rip currents. FHP looking for a driver in a vehicle involved in a fatal pedestrian crash on Detroit Boulevard on Sunday morning. Troopers say a 70-year-old man was in the eastbound lane of Detroit Boulevard near Sharon Lane when he was hit by a vehicle and killed. That vehicle then left the scene of the crash. The pedestrian died. FHP says the vehicle would have damage to its front left side. If you have any information, contact FHP or call Crime Stoppers. The Escambia Board of Commissioners wants to sell off the entire OLF 8 property again. This comes after an offer from a group headed up by local developers Chad Henderson and Ashton Hayward. The entire board supported the idea of selling the property as a whole, a departure from the last several months where the commission had wanted to retain about half of the property to make sure it was used for job creation. The next day, Governor Ron DeSantis announced that the vacant District 4 seat on the Escambia Commission would be filled by Republican primary winner Ashley Hoffberger until after the November election. She says she's also supportive of entering negotiations.
So I'm comfortable moving forward with the negotiations on that. Just the way commercial negotiations work, I would be absolutely shocked if there's a vote that goes into play before the new county commissioners are actually sworn in.
Hoffberger says the OLF 8 discussions have been ongoing for years, and she thinks selling that property as a whole would just be the best bet for the county. Former President Trump marking the one-year anniversary of the Hamas terrorist attacks in Israel. He made a pair of appearances yesterday to express solidarity with the Jewish people, beginning with a meeting in New York City with Orthodox Jews at a memorial event.
October 7th was not just the deadliest day for the Jewish people since the Holocaust. It was not just the worst terror attack since 9/11. It was an attack on humanity itself.
He then went to Miami for a remembrance event where he condemned the rise in anti-Semitism that followed those attacks. It's 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are actually flowing smoothly. Seeing some minor delays if you're at the intersection of 9 Mile and Highway 29. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Plenty of sunshine today with temperatures warming up near 86 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 68. For Wednesday, another sunny day with a high near 85. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 65 degrees. For Thursday, more sunshine, high near 82, low near 62. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
70 in Pensacola, 69 in Gulf Breeze, and 67 in Milton. Our next news at 7 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. First Street launched a suite of climate risk data for every for sale property listed on Zillow. Each listing on Zillow now displays First Street risk scores for flood, fire, wind, air, and heat. They also show those same risk percentages estimated 15 and 30 years into the future. A Delaware bankruptcy judge has approved FTX's reorganization plan almost 2 years after the crypto exchange spiraled into bankruptcy. According to the court-approved plan, 98% of FTX's creditors will get a 119% of their allowed claim amount. Samsung Electronics said it expects worse-than-expected profit for the third quarter. The world's top memory chipmaker said operating profit is projected to be around $6.7 billion. This marks a 274% surge from last year's $1.8 billion. However, the figure missed LSEG's expectations. Futures are mixed. That's Your Money Now.
If you're struggling with ED or your performance is down and your belly fat is growing, listen up. You've got one life. Now is the time to act.
At Wave Men's Health, we're not just healthcare. We're your secret weapon. Don't wait another day. Here's why you need to act right now.
Every moment you delay, your condition could worsen. It's not just about sex. It's about your heart, your relationship, your life.
Wave Men's Health has years of proven results for low testosterone and increasing drive, energy level, and performance. We've introduced ED and enhancement treatments so exclusive, you'll wonder why you waited.
Procrastination is the thief of time. When it comes to your sexual health, you can't afford to wait. Join the league of gentlemen who've walked out of our doors with a swagger.
Call Wave Men's Health at 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Book your $99 male performance consultation now, including blood work. Call 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Eyezervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Eyezervay gets GA going slower.
Eyezervay or Avacincaptad Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Eyezervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Eyezervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Eyezervay today.
Eyezervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Eyezervay.com. That's Eyezervay.com.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Gross. Did you know that Florida recently passed a major tort reform package?
the legislature reduced Florida's general injury statute of limitations from 4 years to 2 years. They limited attorney's fees and homeowners' lawsuits, which could adversely affect homeowners. For any injury claim, call me, Terrence A. Gross, at 850-434-3333 or visit us on the web at grossandschuster.com.
When hurricanes are brewing and heading to the Gulf, tune in to News Radio Pensacola for complete storm coverage you can count on. We have direct reports from the Emergency Management Center and from the National Hurricane Center to give you the latest on the storm's path, strength, and impacts. Stay informed and stay safe with comprehensive hurricane coverage heard on News Radio Pensacola. Now on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, and on our News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. Brad Baker is the Santa Rosa County Administrator. He joins us the Tuesday after, in this case, the regular meeting, because Thursday's meeting has been canceled. Normally, it's the committee meeting on Monday, but yesterday we had a regular meeting with actual votes. Brad, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. Thank you for having me again.
Great to have you. Let's start with surprises. Yesterday, to my mind, there were two big surprises in the meeting. Surprise number one was that James Calkins barely objected to the $4 million extra to be voted for the District 1 Medical Examiner's Facility. Surprise number two was that there was nobody commented at all on the resolution saying that the county was going to oppose Amendment 4, the abortion amendment. There were like two people in the public forum, one pro, one con, and no conversation. Buy a lottery ticket, man. Those were both completely surprising developments.
Yeah. I mean, we do have those occasionally in Santa Rosa County.
So let's talk about, because I know the one is purely symbolic. You know, it's an expression of sentiment, district, the Amendment 4. But on the District 1 facility, I was just doing the math, and it didn't all add up to me, so I was curious if you could clarify. It's about a $4 million increase in the cost of the project. About a $4 million. But when I run the math, I only get $2.8 million because it's $800,000 for three counties, Escambia, Santa Rosa, and Walton, Escambia, Santa Rosa, and Okaloosa, plus $400,000 for Walton. So $2.8, where's the extra million come from?
So we got an appropriation from the state. Dome's got an appropriation from the state. And so right at $1 million. So the new appropriation, recent appropriation from the state makes up the other million. And we had agreed essentially, you know, back, I mean, this started several years ago, when right. We come to an agreement with the four counties that we would split the appropriations equally across there. So we just put the $1 million toward it and then split the others out according to an agreement that we had previously. And, you know, while Walton is, you know, they're at 425, where everybody else is 800. They have the least amount of cases. And then obviously it's the furthest distance from them. I mean, Escambia definitely has the most cases involved, but with it being in Santa Rosa County, our board agreed, months back to do the same split as Okaloosa and Escambia had done for the capital side of it. The operational, we base it on the actual number of cases from the previous year for the operational split.
Gotcha. Right. And so the cost share model that you had been using previously is the same one you carried forward, as you said, based on the number of deaths that the agent, that the office has to process. Do you know what was the increase in cost? Is it architectural issues? Is it just everything goes up more? Was there any particular issue that drove the $4 million?
No, really just inflation and the cost of doing business. You know, we had a firm in and they started doing some reaching out to different groups that will, be doing construction, et cetera. And they kind of got some quotes and said, hey, where are we at based on the square footage and all? And, you know, we had reduced the square footage some. We did some adjustments to the site work, et cetera. And then, so they now feel like that this is going to be, we're going to land at or below this. And I believe you heard, I believe it was Commissioner Wright kind of reiterated that, all right, this is it.
Yeah.
We're not coming back to the table again.
Yeah, I definitely heard that from him, and a couple of other commissioners echoed that sentiment or seemed to be doing. I did want to check with you on the Woodbine Road work, the intersection with Highway 90. Where is that at? I haven't driven through there recently, so I figured I'd ask you. You know these things.
Yeah, we are making good progress. They were working on the pond and developing that and starting in the right-of-way now. You know, we pre-ordered some stuff because of the long delay. I believe the NASA's 18-month delay, so we had pre-ordered them. So kind of waiting on everything to come in and continue all the groundwork, the drainage work, et cetera, so that we can complete that project. I mean, we're still a month away, but yeah. Progress is being made at that intersection, and I think it will dramatically improve a dedicated right-hand turn lane. We'll just at the morning traffic anyway, we'll let that flow right on to 90 and get over to Pensacola.
And it's dedicated the south to west, the going down Woodbine Road and then turning towards Pensacola on 90, the dedicated turn lane, and a second turn lane separate from the go left lane. Right, there's going to be three. Is that the end result of this?
Yeah, that's correct. One free-flowing, dedicated right turn lane that is not signalized, and then a dedicated right turn lane that will be signalized, and then you'll have a separate left turn lane as well. And then, you know, we're going to extend the two going north further up Woodbine to allow more transition and try to clear that traffic off of Highway 90, primarily in, you know, afternoon, evening time, that's trying to get back home and go north.
Yeah, so the widening at that portion near Highway 90 is another part of this project because, as you say, the southbound has to be widened and the northbound has to be widened, so that'll help get traffic off of Highway 90, which is why you had to order the new mast arms, right? Because it's got to reach farther away from, like, the footprint has to start farther away because you have a widening of the road, right?
That's correct. That's correct. And we tried to do, you know, two dedicated right turn lanes, free-flowing, but DOT just wouldn't support that because you have a couple businesses there, and they don't allow you to cross two lanes of traffic to enter a business. So you know, didn't want to have to pay any bits, sauces, et cetera. So that's why we kind of had to land with that one dedicated turn lane.
Okay, see, I would have guessed that it was that you can't so rapidly get two lanes merging into another two lanes, but you're telling me that it was actually the fact that people need to be able to turn into that business, and they won't let you make a right turn going into the gas station when there's two lanes of traffic free flowing through there. That's interesting. I hadn't realized that, but that, I mean, that does make some sense. We're talking to Brad Baker. He's a Santa Rosa. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you have two businesses that are affected. You have the Cumberland and then you have the McDonald's. So,
oh, right.
You know,
okay.
Obviously we want them to be successful. So,
no, that's fair. Thank you for reminding me about the McDonald's. I forgot about that. We're talking to Brad Baker, Santa Rosa County Administrator Brad Baker. Hang on for just a second, Brad. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Brad Baker, Santa Rosa County Administrator. You and I are always talking about, it seems like recently we've had a lot of conversation about storms. Obviously, you know, we're in the aftermath of Helene. We're in the you know, pre-math, if you want to call it that, of Milton. First thing is, are we preparing to deploy anybody from emergency management from the county? I assume we are.
We are. We do have a team. You know, our incident management team is partnered with Escambia and Okaloosa. They have some already deployed, I believe, in the Manatee area. And then we have a second group that is looking to deploy first thing Thursday morning. We'll probably go to the Ocala area and then, you know, kind of see where the need is from there.
Okay. And the flip side of this is, have we started to see, like, people fleeing, you know, evacuees fleeing the area? I figure maybe not just yet, but probably today I would think we would at least start to see it. What have you guys been seeing?
Yeah, based on what we were watching, the traffic cameras and all coming out of Central and South Florida, I believe there's going to be a pretty good exodus this way. And, you know, with Hurricane Helene, typically, they go north into Georgia, to the Carolinas, et cetera, which that is devastated right now. So we anticipate that. I know that our EM team's been discussing with Escambia and kind of thinking through. We did a similar thing. I believe it was Irma years ago, and we had a host shelter on standby. Obviously, we're in schools, and that's where the primary shelters are in our county, but You know, whether that's a Bay Center and then a smaller one in our county, we'll just kind of see what the how the state pushes traffic this way, and then, you know, what do we need to step up and support those victims, because we know how it is, right? We've been those victims before, so we want to help out any way we can.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, you know, obviously Escambia with the Bay Center is going to be the lead, and if they're open, then you want to take best use of that, and then, you know, if there needs to be something else or if that one doesn't get open, that makes perfect sense. Brad Baker, Santa Rosa County Administrator. Brad, as always, thank you for the time, and enjoy your semi-day off on Thursday when you don't have another meeting, right?
Yeah, that's right.
All right, we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks so much. 649 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are considering that next vehicle and you're thinking that it might make more sense for you to get a used vehicle instead of a new one because you want to avoid the depreciation hit, or because, you know, you kind of agree with Dave Ramsey's model of buying cars. I know I do, and I buy used and then drive them to the ground. Typically, I get about 17 years out of a car. I mean, you know, the cars don't go away until they're about 17, you know, that's 17 years old. So that's how I drive them. But Frontier, they specialize in cars that are at the beginning of that process, like a year, two, three, maybe 4 years old, low miles, you know, 10 to 50 or 60,000 is what they specialize in. Good prices, good cars that'll last you for a long time, even as long as I drive them. And then maybe you have to replace one at some point. But that's the point. They've got 300 different cars, trucks, vans on the lot, and you can test drive as many as you like. You can fiddle with as many knobs as you like and see how things fit you, if the seats are comfortable, if the mirrors are right, if the headrest is good. Because sometimes, you know, it's little things you don't think about, but you want to sit in the car and drive it because it's the little thing that will, you kind of convince yourself that's not a problem. And then when you buy a car like a year from now, you're like, oh, I hate that part. Well, you learn that with a test drive, and don't talk yourself out of the things that bother you about a car. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets in our communities, too, by supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Hey, Kevin, how's the boat running?
Well, you know, last week I started working on the water pump, and now I can't remember how it goes back together.
Dude, stop. Call Key Marine. They'll get you and your Mercury outboard back in the water so we can go back to fishing again.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. They'll fix any problem, big or small, even if the problem is you don't remember how the parts go back together. Key Marine, your Mercury outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola.
Hello, my name is Ed Carson. Santa Rosa County is one of the fastest growing counties in the nation, and it's not slowing down. Our parks, roads, bridges, and other community amenities have to keep up. I'm urging you to vote yes for the penny sales tax to replace the current half cent tax. This will fund essential community improvements, enhance our quality of life, better protect our families, and improve public works. Please go to SantaRosaYes.com for more information.
Political advertisement paid for by Building Santa Rosa Tomorrow Today.
When hurricanes are brewing and heading to the Gulf, tune in to News Radio Pensacola for complete storm coverage you can count on. We have direct reports from the Emergency Management Center and from the National Hurricane Center to give you the latest on the storm's path, strength, and impacts. Stay informed and stay safe with comprehensive hurricane coverage heard on News Radio Pensacola. Now on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, and on our News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at VFW.org.
Don't wait until it's too late. Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest hurricane coverage on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Tighten, party on!
Party on, Wayne!
Party on, Garth.
But it's the platforms, whether it's Facebook or Twitter X or Instagram or TikTok, whatever they are, if they don't moderate and monitor the content, we lose total control. And it's not just the social and psychological effects, it's real harm.
If they don't control content, that's a nice way of saying censorship, we lose total control? Interesting expression from a former Secretary of State, former senator, and former candidate for president, a nominee for president for the Democratic Party, Hillary Clinton. Also, she was married to a president, wasn't she? Also, just, I don't know, sometimes forget the whole bio. we lose total control if you don't censor.
And monitor the content. We lose total control.
Yeah, 8:55 here on... Had a lot of those lately. John Kerry, you know, going in front of the Climate Council and saying the things that he said the other day. Just like that stupid, pesky First Amendment gets in the way of us getting things done. And now Hillary Clinton says if we don't censor on social media, then we lose total control. And meanwhile, President Biden forgot that there was Hurricane Helene. John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John?
No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10 and I-110 are actually looking really good. I'm starting to see some delays at the intersection of East 9 Mile Road and Highway 29, so just be aware of that. Other than that, traffic is rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
You don't see any patterns here. There are no patterns here for you to see. Pay no attention to the patterns of your lion eyes. Hey, I hate to be that guy. I do. I'm, you know, I hate to just be snarky, to just be, you know, contemptuous or whatever. But sometimes you see enough things and you think it's not wrong to think that way. Hey, if you are 64 turning 65, or you are retiring, or you are already on Medicare but you want to make a change because you have open enrollment, Ricky Stewart, a good friend of mine. I've known her as long as we've lived here. Her whole family does insurance. She does this one part. She manages Medicare for people getting you onto it, or, you know, managing it once you are on it. And so, you know, you have questions. What supplement? What's Advantage? How are plans changing? What do I need to do? Does Medicaid apply to me? You know, all of that stuff. Great questions. I don't know the answers. It's not my arena. But ask her. She does know the answers. And she's so great with working with people, and she's such a sweetheart. So if any of this applied to me, I would absolutely be calling her because, you know, she's great. 341-2185 for Ricky Stewart Insurance. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The White House says that the Federal Emergency Management Agency does have the funding they need to respond to Hurricane Milton this week, while still assisting in the recovery and rebuilding from Hurricane Helene. President Biden also has approved Governor Ron DeSantis' request for an emergency declaration. Georgia's Supreme Court has reinstated a 6-week abortion ban while it considers the state's appeal of a lower court ruling. The lower court had struck down the ban last week, making abortion legal for up to 22 weeks. In Texas, a lower court ruling remains in place that bans ER doctors from performing an abortion unless a mother's life is in danger. And Whitney Houston's mom, Sissy Houston, has passed away. Her family made that announcement on social media. She was a soul and gospel artist who started her career as a backup singer for artists like Elvis Presley, Aretha Franklin, and Dionne Warwick. She went on to win 2 Grammys for her solo work, and she died again at 91.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Yeah, the Georgia ruling is kind of interesting because, what was it, Monday last week, I think it was, that Judge Robert McBurney wrote in his opinion that liberty in Georgia includes the right over body choices. It's not unlimited, but when a fetus has reached viability, society can assume and care and responsibility for that separate life. Before that, And only then, you know, society cannot intervene, which means he's trying to reinstate Roe, obviously, honestly, at that level. I thought it was weird, too. Some of the comments that he made, I'm reading from a little bit from the opinion, at least from the reporting on it. For these women, this is when the judge stayed it. OK, and that stay has been now overturned. For these women, the liberty of privacy means that they alone should choose whether they serve as human incubators for the 5 months leading up to viability. It is not for a legislator, a judge, or a commander from The Handmaid's Tale to tell these women what to do with their bodies during this period when the fetus cannot survive outside the womb any more so than society could or should force them to serve as a human tissue bank or give up a kidney for the benefit of another. The judge wrote?
You're listening.